I'm just going to start as I'm led today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. All of us know that final words of anybody they're always very important. Anybody that gives final words, like if you're a top person here somewhere where you work or you run a business, if you're traveling, you know, you call your core team together, you're going to give them final words. Am I correct? Before your trip, you know. If those of us that have watched, that used to watch Kung Fu films when we were young, when the big boss wants to die, he also gives final words. If you have watched home video too, if Peter Doche wants to die in the movie, he gives final words. So final words are always very, very important. And let's see Paul's final words here to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 11. I like my scriptures on the screen because I work with DJ. I call the guys that put scripture on me DJ. All right. It says, finally, brethren. So this shows this is like final words. It said, finally, brethren, say farewell. It said, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. He was saying them things that, look, man, this is my final words to you. These are the important things. Be complete, be good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Next verse. It said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Next verse. It says, all the saints greet you. Next verse. And it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Can we all say that together? One, two, go. I want some more energy. Let's go one more time. Go. All right. Now, I know today most churches use this as their closing remark or closing prayer. But every time I stumble on that scripture or hear it, I understand that Paul was summarizing the power of everything he knew and everything he had been telling them into that sentence. And if there's anything missing or you're trusting God for, they are usually all captured in these three things. It says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Trinity. And he was trying to tell you or tell us what is prominent amongst those three people or the three personalities there. It says, for Jesus, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus. Most times when you hear about grace, it's about the grace of Jesus. There are not a lot of times you will see the grace of God. And even when you see the grace of God, they will link it in one or two verses after to Christ. You will hear the grace of Jesus. Now, this is important because you need to understand that the grace we enjoy is the grace of Jesus. It is Jesus that actually took our place. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It is the work he did that gave birth to the grace. That's why they usually call it the grace of our Lord Jesus. That grace is, I know you understand substitution. And we're talking about the mercy of God. That grace is what qualifies us. The moment you understand the grace, you will never hold another Christian ransom any day of your life. The reason why we still hold people ransom is that we think we are in a position to do so. A prisoner cannot bail another prisoner. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If they arrest you and say, who will bail you? Say, my counterpart that is also arrested. The moment you understand what the grace of our Lord Jesus is and means, you will know that you have no right to hold anybody's fault against them. Because the same way they don't qualify to be where they are, you don't qualify to be where you are. There is nothing you have that you qualify for. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's a revelation. My wife always tells me, you forgive people easily. I say, my brother, if you have been forgiven, you can't hold anybody. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Some of us still think we qualify because of our works or because we contributed something. That is why we think we have the audacity to hold somebody. You can't hold anybody. Even you won't make it without the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? To appreciate mercy, you have to give mercy. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That grace is what changes our position. That grace is what puts us in a position to walk with God. Without that grace, we will never be able to stand before God. That grace is so powerful, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It actually elevates us. The moment you understand that grace, you will never think a poor thought in your life. You are not a poor person. You might be going through a hard time, but you are not a poor person. You are not a sick person. You are not the sick trying to be healed. You are the healed that Satan is trying to put sickness on. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It changes your position. The moment you understand that Christ took your place and you took his place, your position has changed forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took our place. That's what they mean by the grace. They mean the grace of what he did. The grace of him taking our place. I am here today because he took my place. I am now in his place. That's why you will always hear we are raised together. We are seated together. He elevated us to his own rank. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Among the Godhead, he's the only one we can rub shoulders with. Because of that grace. You see, that's why it's called the grace of Jesus. It's not really the grace of God. Now, I know generally it's the grace of God, of course. But you will hardly see scripture refer to it as the grace of God. It's more about the grace of that. That is what we are really practically enjoying. It's the grace of Jesus. He's the only one we can rub shoulders with. You dare not rub shoulders with God. And you dare not rub shoulders with the Holy Spirit. But you are joint heirs with Christ. You can always rub shoulders. He said, we are seated together. We are raised together. Always comparing us together. With Christ. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And this is why we pray in Jesus' name. So when you pray, it's not you asking. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's what Jesus' name means. Alright? It's not me making the request. It has nothing to do with me. It's that grace. It's Christ making that request. Jesus making that request. The next thing there is the love of God. That grace of God leads us to the love of God. Like I said, final words are important. Why did Paul put these three things and attribute these three different things to the three parts of the Godhead? Because these are the most prominent things about them. He says the love of God. Oh man, we are so obsessed about the power of God, but God wants us to focus on the love of God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We are so obsessed with the power of God. If people want to talk about God, what they will talk about is the power of God. We all like the power of God. It's more dramatic. But that's not the major part of God. You will never see God anywhere say, I am power. But you hear the Bible say, God is love. Love is more important to him. You seeing him as love is more important to him as you seeing him as power. See, somebody can be powerful and not send you. I don't think what I'm saying. Somebody can be powerful and not care about you. There's a world richest man. He doesn't know me. His riches doesn't benefit me. You see, somebody can be powerful and not help you. And not love you. But someone cannot love you and not use their power for you. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Someone can be powerful and not help you. But someone cannot love you. The moment you shift your consciousness to the love of God, you will know you have access to the power of God. Oh man. The reason you doubt whether God is going to do it or not is because you don't know he loves you. I see people all the time saying, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. You see, those are people that know that God can heal me, but I don't know whether he loves me enough to heal me. They know he can. They don't know whether he will. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The love of God. God is more interested in you understanding he loves you. That love is so deep that they say we have to check the length, the breadth, the width to understand that love. God loves you. The moment you understand this, your prayer concept will change. I see too many Christians negotiating with God, convincing God, cajoling God, some even threatening him. That if you don't answer me, if I don't marry this year, you will see my true color. Thank you, chameleon. You have many colors. They are threatening God because they don't understand. See, God's stand is already settled. His stand is settled. I can't remember the last time I asked God for anything in terms of asking him that this is what I want. That's not a very... The more you grow in the things of the Spirit, you prefer for God to tell you what he wants. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? What you will want can never be as good as what he wants. How many people here have prayed for something, you got the thing, and you were not happy with it when it came? There are, some of you say, pray for something, it didn't happen, and later in life, you thank God that it didn't happen. When you understand the concept of God's love, you would never cajole him. You will never shout at him another day of your life. We are so obsessed with his power. We are so obsessed with his power. Of course, he is powerful. But if you are not sure of how his mind concerning you, his power is of no use to you. He would rather you concentrate on his love. That's what Paul said. Paul didn't say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. No, he said the love. If you are going to know anything about God, focus on his love. John 3:16 captures the whole Bible. For God so loved the world. His love is the most outstanding or prominent thing about God. It is his love. From Genesis to the end, what you will see is God's love in action. Glory to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. He wants us to know. See, when you understand that, you will. I don't shout at God. I've never. My wife, me and my wife were talking some time ago, and she was saying, you know, many Christians get to say if something is going bad in their lives, they actually blame God. And I said, I've never had that problem. If anything is going wrong in my life, the one person I know that is on my side is God. I can doubt other men are on my side. The one person I know for certain that is on my side is God. I've never had the case to say, God, when? God, why? What are you talking about? This person, from your first encounter or relationship with him, has always been on the basis of love. He even loved you before you were born. He loved you before you knew him. He said we love him because he first loved us. So why would you think that, you know, and again, that's the problem, because we know his power, we don't know his love. You say, I had an accident. God, why did you allow it to happen? In your mind, you have gone straight to power because you know that he can stop the accident. Why didn't he stop it? Go, he said, go to love. Knowing that, trust me, he must have done a lot of things to try to stop that accident. We know his power. That's why we blame him for everything. There are people that think, if God is in charge of this world, why is there terrorism? Why are all these bad things happening? Because that loving God gave men free will. Do you want to be a robot? He gave you free will. It's men that are doing that, not God. God would rather you doubt his power than that you doubt his love. He doesn't want you to doubt his love. The love of God. That's the most important thing about him. Not his power. You never hear God use him as power. But you hear the Bible say God is love. He's so much in love that he describes himself as love. You will never hear God say God is favor. You will never hear God say God is money. But you will hear God is love. Never. I've never had to blame him for anything. He can't be at fault. He is the one working for me. He's the one on my side. If it's not the Lord that was on our side, we would have been consumed. It's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. It can't be him. So, like I said, if you understand these two steps, your prayer life will change. There's nothing I need to ask him for that he has not factored in already. In fact, the first two people in this scripture are already, in quote, retired. In quote. So that's why when you are talking to them, you must know how you are talking to them. You must talk to them in past tense. Jesus has finished his work and he has gone back to sit. The first two people in this scripture are seated. Jesus is sitting. God is sitting. That's why God told him, come to my right hand and sit. So they are both sitting. My Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand. They are both what? Sitting. So don't shout. You're shouting at the wrong people. They finished their work. The grace of our Lord Jesus establishes our position. The love of God establishes God's position. Please follow this. This is important. The grace of our Lord Jesus establishes your position. So you are not a pauper. You are not a broke, you are not a poor person. You are not disadvantaged. Somebody get what I'm saying? The grace of our Lord Jesus establishes your position. The love of God establishes God's position. You can't be telling God, have mercy, pity me. No, he has already pitied you. He has already shown mercy. Both of them are in past tense. The guy you should be bothered about is the third person there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? I can't hear you. And what? This is the one we are not paying attention to, and that is the real issue. The two people we are talking to are retired permanent secretaries. They've left office. They've gone to rest in our hometown, where we are going to join them later. The only person that is still in office is the person we don't even talk to. He said the communion, your relationship with the Holy Ghost. He's the only active part on the earth today. The rest are seated in heavenly places waiting for you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That is where the struggles of many Christians are. They still talk to God the Father as if he's going to do something. He has done. They are talking to Jesus. He has changed position with you already. He can't do more than that. The person you should be talking to is the Holy Spirit. Why? Why should you be talking to him? He's the COO. He's the chief operating officer. He's the one in charge. He's the project manager. Why is he important? He is important because, like, when we arrived here, they gave us a protocol person that was telling us everything that was freely given to us. Without that person, I will come here and struggle. Now, where's my seat? I don't have seat. Lord, sit. Lord, sit in Jesus' name. Sit. If I talk to my protocol officer, there is a seat already prepared for those who love him. That's it, guys. 1 Corinthians, let's say it here. The person that is most important, we neglect him. We talk to God the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. But we're not talking to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. From verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 9. Look at this. But as it's written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. What? I can't hear you. What? The things which God has what? Is it going to prepare? Prepared. Next verse. He said, but God had done what? Revealed them unto us by who? CO. He said, for the Spirit does what? Searched all things. How many things? All things, the deep things of God. Next verse. He said, for what man knoweth the things of any man except the spirit of that man in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth who? No man, but what? COO. Next verse. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Those things are given already. We just need the Spirit to hand it over to us, to show us where they are. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Oh, man. The Spirit is the most important person on the earth today in terms of the Godhead. The rest are seated. They've done their part. God so loved the world. He has done. Jesus has already come and died and gone back. He has done. He said, but I will send you another person. And he said, that communion, it's not just having the Holy Spirit. It's the communion. You see, Christ is the grace. God is the love. Holy Spirit is the what? Communion. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. It's the communion. Koinonia, the relationship. You can't possess what is yours without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't possess all that is yours without the relationship. If there's anything you are going to desire this year, desire communion with the Holy Spirit. That's how to get what is yours. Hallelujah. God has already done it. Why is it not in my hand? I've not spoken to the protocol officer. Oh, Pastor was talking yesterday. Pastor Poggi was talking yesterday. And I've also heard him say it some time ago also. That there's nothing like Old or New Testament. That's so powerful. That is when the veil is removed from any scripture that it makes sense to you. That is not old or new. Because every scripture is inspired of God. Every scripture is inspired. It is when the Holy Ghost opens it, when the veil is removed. The pastor said that yesterday. And that is so true. That is why we don't act. The Bible can be almost useless if the Holy Spirit is not reading it with you. It will make no meaning to you. But you see, this same Bible, you can find the university to go to in this Bible. If the Holy Spirit is reading with you. Once the veil, old or new, that's what the pastor was saying. There is nothing like old or new. It's all inspired scripture. How can you say something God said is old? It's science catching up with God. It's not God catching up with science. It's life catching up with God. God is in eternity and nothing he says is old. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? My wife saw me inside this Bible. I'm here. Now you see, and that's the thing. That's why they say it's communion of the Holy, not general Holy Spirit. As Wafek is going on, there's an anointing and the Holy Spirit here. But if you don't have communion, all these things we're shouting, you won't get the word you need. It's communion. It's communion that gives you your own word. This is a buffet. See, did you see the lineup? It's a buffet. But you know you can attend all these sessions, all, and still live the same. If you don't have the communion, where they hand you your own. Say you will stand in your front. Say you have your teachers in front of you, but you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way you should handle that issue. My wife was in a relationship for 5 years with a medical doctor. When we come for a relationship program this year, we'll share it. Pastor, I've invited myself. It's okay. Whenever I manifest, if it doesn't manifest, not 20, manifest one day. I don't have a problem. We don't pressure the Holy Ghost. When he manifests, he manifests. Whenever I'm preaching again on relationship here, I will share the Fuji spot. Some of you don't know. Last year, I said I was preaching white back this. I said, no, I said it to myself. Yeah, Pastor, I know Pastor cut it. The person I spoke to cut it. So my wife had a relationship with somebody for 5 years. The guy is a medical. He's a good Christian, not a bad guy. He's a Christian, born again. They were in relation for 5 years. His medical doctor went to do masters in the UK. Very promising. They had given the introduction. And one day, my wife was studying the Bible. The woman by the well. And she got to where they said, the man you are with is not your husband. You see, once the veil is removed, you will see your own word. Everything in the Bible is logos, but once God breathes on it, it becomes your rhema. And why communion is important is that there's no general word. Nothing like general word. Because another person cannot go and apply that scripture. Because that's what we have been doing. We want to apply somebody's revelation. No. It must be inspired actions. So she saw the man you are with is not your husband. After 5 years, she began to struggle with it. But the Lord said, that's it. So I'm summarizing now. She said, Lord, the same way you told me who it is not, that's how I want you to tell me who it is. So later again, maybe some weeks or months, I don't know, months, she was studying the Bible again. She was now in the book of Samuel. And as she was reading, she was showing where Samuel went to anoint David. And they said, he's the youngest and he's taking care of sheep and he's handsome. You don't usually mention that. They said David is fair. David is fair and handsome and smart. You don't usually mention it, but me, I caught my own revelation there. Yeah. He said he's the last born and he's taking care of sheep. He said anoint him for he's the one. So God now asks her, what position is Kingsley in his family? He said he's the last born. He said, what do pastors do? They take care of sheep. He said, arise, anoint him for he's the one. By that time I had not asked her out. Because she said the same way you told me who it is not, I want you to also show me who it is. Is somebody get what I'm saying? There's nothing you can't find here once the veil is removed. That's why communion, the thing about the Holy Spirit is relationship. Not just, you can't shout at the Holy Ghost. You know you can shout at God. He's the love of God. He will say, Omodelo Nshie. That's God though. Christ will say, well, you are my person. I've already died for you. I can't die more than this one. He will understand. But the Holy Ghost, among the three, he doesn't take nonsense. So. So you will hear things like, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You will not hear it all at once. But him, he doesn't take rubbish. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, quench not the Spirit. You will, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Holy Ghost lives. Especially for a moment. Many people that are sensitive or prophesy or minister in sentence in the Spirit, they say whenever they violate something the Holy Ghost tells them, say, don't lay hands, and they go and lay hands, they find that the anointing lives. Or God gives them a word and say, and don't prophesy it, and they carry a microphone and give the word publicly. The Holy Ghost don't talk to them again for a while. He's not the other one, so that will never leave nor forsake. This one. Grieve not. Quench not. He's the one that killed Ananias and Sapphira. The God we know doesn't kill. He's a God of mercy. But the Holy Ghost, they say, why how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? He doesn't play all those play. It's not his fault. He's a very sensitive and busy person. He's very sensitive. That's why they say the sin against the Holy Ghost is the one that they don't forgive. You can sin against God, they forgive you. Sin against Jesus, they forgive you. Sin against the Holy Ghost, you say, go and write application and come and defend yourself. But we don't forgive like that. He's very sensitive. And this is why many people don't have any relationship with him. But they have the Holy Ghost. But they don't have a relationship. It's communion, they said. Not just Holy Ghost. You already have Holy Ghost. It's communion of the Holy Ghost that is the key. Not Holy Ghost. We all have Holy Ghost. And you see, when it comes to salvation and Christianity, you can actually fake every other thing except communion with the Holy Spirit. You can fake it. We have a lot of people in church that are not really born again. Any pastor will tell you. The person came out for altar call, but he doesn't know what they even came out for. You saw people coming out, he just came. You saw people kneeling down, he knelt. Raise hand, they raise. Say this thing, he says. Carry Bible, he carry. Join department, he join. He's doing everything, but when you have a real talk with him, you know this one doesn't even know what we are doing in this premises. I don't know if you have met that. Anyway, every pastor has something like that. You can fake every other part of Christianity. You can give money without knowing Jesus. You can serve in a department without having Holy Ghost. But that communion of the Holy Spirit, once you encounter it, there are some things you can never do or say again. He's the one in charge of gifts of the Spirit. He's also the one in charge of fruits of the Spirit. He's the CEO. Without him, your Christianity is fruitless. They will be able to identify you, separate you from an unbeliever. That communion, nothing can. The moment God actually guides you to something, you will know God is real. You reach a stage, nobody can convince you God is not real. Because you know what you heard, you know what you saw. It's communion and it's relationship. Nothing, you can't fake it. You can fake every other part of Christianity. It's not singing. Some people come to church and say, I like the music. It's worshipful, but they call it music. Every day I meet people that say, Pastor, I like your show. I say, it's a show. It's a show, true, true. This heavy preacher, I'm preaching a show. When you have communion, you want to live above sin, communion. He will guide you. You want to live above trouble, communion. My phone is, I know the thing about the Holy Spirit. Once you develop that communion with him, you'll be amazed. He said he will show you. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing. Any struggle you are facing, most likely, is that Holy Spirit that is not. You don't have communion. You have Holy Spirit, but you don't have communion. That's what they call him, the seal of our salvation. That's where the thing really has entered. It's the seal of redemption. You can fake the others. Church attendance, you can attend. And if you attend 9 vigil, attend everything and not be genuinely saved. Don't tell anybody this one. There are even some pastors that are not saved. I'm telling you, when they talk, you say, are you sure you understand what we are doing here? Because he has grown in the ranks. He has done everything right. He's diligent. But it's no communion. Nothing replaces that. Once the communion is there, that's your authenticity. That's the proof of authenticity of salvation. That you have a personal, it's not group communion. It's personal. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, Not the Holy Ghost, but the communion of the Holy Spirit. It comes with communion. Hallelujah. Comes with communion. Relationship. Relationship. He's very sensitive. You hear, don't quench the spirit. Don't grieve the spirits. You hear things like that. Because for many years, I've wondered, why would God kill Ananias and Sapphira? It's not today people make pledge and don't redeem it now. Every pastor, I don't have people that make pledge. Some people say they'll come out, they will lie down. People make pledge. Anywhere in the world, people make pledge. Some people say they will die in this church. Say, pastor, you are my pastor. This is my church. The Holy Ghost told me this is my church. And next week, everyone will come. Next week. People make pledge and don't pay pledge every day. Why would he kill these two guys? He told them, how dare you lie or test the Holy Spirit. See, Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart? To do what? To lie against him. He doesn't play. You for lie against God. See, you lie against the Holy Ghost. You know they play. Is somebody getting this? He's a very sensitive spirit. He hates to be ignored. He hates to be ignored. He's not the kind of person you can just turn on and turn off. He hates to be ignored. You must cultivate the relationship. Quickly, 7 ways you can cultivate that relationship, then I'll leave. Quickly. Praise God. I know this is not very deep, but I don't teach deep things. I just want to teach practical things you can use. You can use this year. Because me, I'm enjoying my Christian walk. I don't know why people are not enjoying it. It's that lack of communion. Do you know God can tell? Do you know God told me the school to go to and the course to study? And it was so sure that I went to write the exam without reading. Don't practice this at home. You know, that's not about communion. It's personal. You can't take on that person's own. It doesn't work like that. Everybody has individual work. That's what I said. It's the path of the just. It's when you follow your own path that your light shines bright. If you follow a group path, it won't shine. No? It's only your own path. And it's not about your path. Is that everything you're looking for is there. Husband, wife, job, everything is there. They're on their path. That's why you can't follow any path. Everybody's following. God told me the school to go to the course to study. I wrote Jamoli once. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Is that accurate? But the relationship has to be cultivated. Christianity is not supposed to be a struggle if you are in touch with the COO. A lot is going on in the world, but if you are in touch with the COO, you will find out there's an inheritance kept for you. You're not an orphan. I say you are not an orphan. It doesn't matter whether you don't have physical mother. Because I see in Nigeria, I see somebody like 30 years old say he's an orphan. I say, you're not an orphan. No, that's not how they use that word. You're 40 years old, but your father and mother is dead. Say you're orphan. No. That's not how they use that word. Orphan is for people that are underage, that don't have father and mother. Not you, 40, you say you're... No, that's not... Wrong use of the word. Because in Nigeria, we use anything to manipulate people to help us. You say, I'm an orphan. You are somebody's father now. But spiritually, you are not an orphan. So it's not your work is not supposed to be hard. In fact, if you see too much struggle in an area, you need to go back and check what's happening. Too much struggle, though. And that's why, because we don't know how to cultivate the relationship with the Holy Spirit, we don't understand the different kinds of prayer. Like I said, we are too obsessed with God's power in our country, in the way we pray. So that's why all our prayer is shouting at God. There are times, the only time you really should be shouting is when you are speaking to things or situations, not to your father, somebody that already loves you. He can't love you more than he already loves you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. God can't love you more. He already loves you to the maximum. And he has already provided everything you would need. So yes, if you are speaking to mountains in your life, if you are speaking to situations or territories or demonic activities, you can shout and use your authority. If you are talking to your father, no need. He already loves you. Are you here, somebody? He already loves you. We have not cultivated that communion. 7 ways, quickly. Number 1, develop the consciousness of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I'm trying to achieve this afternoon. Do you know he's sitting by you where you are right now? Do you know he follows you? He's called Parakletos, the one called alongside to help. He's right there alongside. The reason why he's not talking to you, or let me say you are not hearing him, is that you are not conscious of him. He's a person. He's not a wind. He's not a dove. He's not rain. He's not fire. He's what? A person. So develop the consciousness that, hey, I'm never alone. You know, Liverpool, you never walk alone. Yes, sir. You never walk alone. That's what they are saying, really. Do you know you never walk alone? You never walk alone. Even if you are married, you don't know how what to teach you. Oh my God, I don't have time. When I come for the marriage conference, I'll teach all these things. I learned the... Why you laugh? I'm telling my own. You see, you're laughing at my rema. Okay. There are many times. You see, when you say you can't be a good husband, you can't be a good wife, it's lack of communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost will coach you how to love your wife. Coach you how to love your husband. There are many times. I want to say something. The Lord said, don't say anything. I said, no, I'm a teacher of the word. If I explain to her, she will understand. The Lord said, And I will go ahead and disobey. And I will say my mind. And the situation will get worse. She will be more angry than before. One time we were in the car together. I was in front. She was at the back. There were people in the car with us. So she sent me one message about something that had happened that she didn't like. And when she sent it, the Holy Ghost said, all you need to say is, oh, sorry, baby. I'm telling you, I kid you not. That's what the Holy Ghost said. Just write, oh, sorry, baby. But of course. I said, I have to share my own view. When I shared my view, it made things worse. Do you know, some weeks after, we were talking about that issue, and my wife said, when I sent you that long message, all I expected you to say was, oh, sorry, baby. She used the same words. I just blew my face. The Holy Ghost, I don't know what they're talking about. I know. She heard it for the first time one day when I was preaching like this. I didn't tell her, the Holy Ghost told me to say it. Many times like that, when we're newly wedded, that's when I started learning it. I would get home from work, she would give me food. A goosey soup. She used to cook some mean goosey soup. Me, but all this weight I'm trying to lose, this is the person that caused the problem. Wives do that. When they marry you handsome, they overfeed you so that you won't be attractive to other people. It's their insurance insurance policy. So I'll be eating the food and the Holy Ghost say, give her your fish or give out of your fish. I'll say, the Holy Spirit, she's the one that cook this food. There is more in the pot. If she wants fish or any other thing, she knows where to get it. While I'm yet arguing, my wife will just say, honey, give me out of your fish now. I know with women, I'm planning to. I was thinking about is zero. You know those zero that have eyes? You can't tell a woman I'm planning to. Many times I've been in the office, the Holy Ghost say, call your wife. I'll say, let me finish this chapter. Let me finish this message. Let me finish this thing I'm doing. Then she will call me. I'll say, honey, I was planning to... planning to call. If your husband or wife is always complaining, it's the communion of the Holy Ghost that is not there. The Holy Ghost is ready to guide you. Even sexually. Even in cooking. You don't know how to cook. Because the Holy Ghost is a professional chef. Are you here, somebody? There is no area of life, even in business. Before you sign some things, go and pray. Okay, let me go into developing the conscience because I'll break it down there. Before you sign some things, go and pray. The Holy Ghost is a mover. The first time he was introduced in the Bible was moving. He's not, the other ones are seated. God the Father seated. Jesus seated by the right hand. Holy Ghost, we move. He's a mover. He came in moving and is still moving. Is somebody here? When he entered in Acts of the Apostles, it was like a rushing wind. It's always moving. So number one, develop the consciousness that he's with you and he's a person. Number two, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Just, even where you are now, can you just whisper and talk to him? Anything, like, just tell him, Right now, where you are, whisper under your breath. We don't need to hear. Tell him something. Everybody, tell him something. It can be, thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we talk to God. We talk to Jesus. The one person we neglect, which is the most important person to us, here now, we don't talk to him. We talk to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I include, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the one that we talk to you here. The others, they are greeting you from far. It's like calling IG of police because somebody bashed your car here in front of the roundabout. You're calling IG of police from headquarters. There's nothing he can do. He will still refer you to a policeman on ground. Thank you, Father. He said, thank you, son. Love you. I'm broke. Love you. The love of God. Love you. Jesus, I'm broke. He said, you know the grace, my grace. Though I was rich, now I'm poor. So that through my poverty, you are rich. The person on ground that can bring you out of that poverty is the Holy Spirit. He will now tell you, oh, you're this product, or you're this thing, or you're go that place, call this person. This is the person you will call. But yet, he's the one we don't talk to the most. Thank you, Father. We say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Also include, thank you, Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Talk to him about anything. You are going now, say, Holy Spirit, I want to know the route that is good. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want today to be great. Holy, guide me how I'm going to. Just talk to him. It mustn't be a special, ceremonious thing. He's with you. Just talk. Practice talking to the Holy Spirit. Wait, before you read your Bible, say, Holy Spirit, show me where to read. Holy Spirit, speak to me today as I'm reading this Bible. I'm always fascinated by people that read 3 or 4 chapters at once. I've never been able to do it. There are some verses I'll just see. I've closed for the week. Because I'm still meditating on that. It's too sweet, too deep to move to another thing. Are you hearing somebody? You know, there's no way they said you'll be blessed by reading the Bible. Everywhere they say you'll be blessed by meditating on the Bible. It's thinking about it, looking at it, meditating. Psalm 1, Joshua 1, all that. Okay. So talk to him. All right? Talk to him. Number 3, listen to him. Listen to him. So from time to time, just be quiet in your spirit, man. After you have talked to him, be quiet and listen for the instructions. So you want to do business, you want to sign a deal, you want to go after something. Don't start by the physical effort. Start by the spiritual effort. You don't have to check 5 places before you find the one. You don't have to kiss many frogs before you find your prince. You can actually, by the Spirit, know the right one at once. Are you here, somebody? Listen to him. I remember one time I was in school. I was writing an exam. Because I was already doing ministry when I went to school, I was hardly in class. Now, like I said, don't practice this at home. I was already doing ministry, so I just come for exam. So there was this test they were doing. Of course, I've missed the test many times. So there was now the last chance for those that have been missing the test to write the test. 30 marks. And I came that day, didn't have textbook, didn't have anything. So I borrowed textbook from somebody. The test was holding one in an hour's time. And I had 1 hour to read something they've studied half of the whole semester. Most people were trying to read everything. As I took the textbook, I kept it, and the first thing I did was to worship. Listen to the Holy Spirit before you do any deal. I'll finish the story later. In this Wavbeck, not next one. So listen to the Holy Spirit. There are many moves you want to make. He has an opinion. Listen to him. Number what is next one? Number 4, yield to the Spirit. Yield to him. So whenever he nudges your heart, like I told you, he's very sensitive. He doesn't like talking to stubborn people. He's very sensitive. So when he nudges your heart and says, forgive somebody. Forgive. Those are the things that really stretch your ability to hear. Things like forgive. Things like give. Because some people bind him. Holy Ghost say, go empty your account. Say, I bind you in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, Satan can never tell you to give. That's how you know. Satan can never tell you to forgive. Satan will always tell you to revenge. Satan will never tell you to give. To give to God's kingdom. Never. So it can't be the devil. So yield. Sometimes he will tell you, go and pray. You see, those are the things I'm saying. That's how you perfect listening. Random things he will tell you, say, just go and pray now. Or don't eat today. You are not planning to fast. There's no church fast. You just woke up, finding your business, and thinking, well, I eat today. They're going to say, don't eat today. That's how you yield. My phone now, my phone is cracked in the screen and it's blinking different lights. You know what happened? Me and my wife and the family were in one event, and we had been there for a few hours, and we're about to leave. Already about to leave. And as I was standing up from the chair, the Holy Ghost said, put your phone in your pocket. Now, as a normal Nigerian, I like to be pressing something in my phone. But he just told me, put your phone in your pocket. Weirdest thing. Why would I put my phone in my pocket? It makes no sense. I'm always holding my phone. I knew why later. A few minutes after, I met somebody I knew. As I was shaking the person, my phone fell. My phone never falls. My wife was shocked. My phone never falls. I don't lose things. So whenever I lose something, I know I've missed something. I know my things don't get missing. My phone fell. And it fell, there was sand everywhere. But one small rock somewhere. The phone fell and the screen hit the rock among all the sand. So the screen is cracked now and it's blinking different lights. He said, put it in your pocket. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield. It might be small, small things. Call this person now. You're looking for your husband. One of my shared pastors, do you know how he found his wife? There was one of my daughters I was looking for many years. I didn't know where she was. I was in the office one day after praying and just being quiet. Holy Ghost said, take a walk now. As I took a walk, got to the junction, I met the girl. I said, where have you been? Oh, whatever. We reconciled. Come to church. Everything. And that's how my church pastor saw her and they got married. How many of you are looking for things? You know, sometimes even something we're looking for is in some people's hands. But they don't want to listen to the Holy Ghost. So this is where prayer comes in. As you're praying, the Holy Ghost will say, pray in tongues. There's who holding your this thing? But they are holding tight to the card they should give you. Pray, let's come touch the hand. Are you here, somebody? The things that have been freely given to you. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Number five, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you're going to develop that communion with him, don't grieve him. He gets upset easily. He's sensitive. So don't grieve him. Don't continuously disobey the things he tells you. That grieves him. Don't hold grudges. Don't use your mouth wrongly. Forgive people that offend you. Forgiveness has nothing to do whether the person deserves it or not, because you two didn't deserve forgiveness from God. Forgive. Don't hold those grudges. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Number six, create the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. He's very particular. Like I said, he's sensitive, very particular about atmosphere. This is why we worship in church. This is why you must not miss worship part of the service. Some people come for only the word. Some people doing the worship, they are just playing. It's a very crucial part of the service. Some people are pressing their phones. Yield. And then create the atmosphere. He likes worship. He likes fastings. Fastings helps you to be sensitive to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's always around, really, but fasting helps you. So create the atmosphere. Fasting. Worship. So as I was saying about that story, I had 1 hour to prepare for that exam, that test. Many chapters to cover. Had only 1 hour. There's no way I could read everything. I dropped the book and I started to worship. I just worshipped and worshipped and worshipped for like 10 minutes. And the next thing the Holy Spirit said, read chapter 1. Read chapter 1. Some of you, before you sign contract like that, keep the contract and just worship. Create the atmosphere. See, you need to even approach God with the confidence, or the Holy Spirit with the confidence that he will speak. Many times we approach him as if we are not sure. He is a person, he's there. The first time I ever heard God's voice was for something very useless. That's when I knew that he's very interested in our lives. It was a puzzle. You know puzzle? Puzzle. I was a young Christian, so I didn't even know what I was doing. My elder brother came and said, do this, because we always challenge ourselves with things like that. He said, do this puzzle, you can never get it. And you know what I just said? I just said, the Holy Spirit will tell me the answer. I don't even know what I was doing. I was a young Christian, maybe a year in the Lord or something. I said, the Holy Ghost tell me what to do. I dropped it by the bed. He came next day, he said, you've not done it. I said, no, the Holy Ghost tell me what to do. I was just saying it. The third day, I was just lying down on the bed, relaxing, quiet. And that's nothing like quiet atmospheres. Life's quiet. You can't. Oh, the noise in this generation is too much. When we're young, TV starts 4 o'clock and actually has closing time. So even if you don't want to go and do something else to your life, the NTA will say, we have closed. You want to useless your life? We're not going to contribute. We have closed. We have family. We want to go and rest. But today night, if you want to finish your own destiny, there's enough material to finish your destiny. You can be online 24 hours. There's something going on. There's one platform or the other. Too much noise. He likes quietness. He likes quietness. You must practice quietness. That's the atmosphere he likes. Hallelujah. I was just lying down quiet, and the Lord just told me, 2, 3, 4. I'm telling you, never heard God's voice before that time. 2, 3, 4. He said, that's the answer to the puzzle. And I picked the puzzle up and wrote 2, 3, because that puzzle you're supposed to do it many times before you get it. I wrote 2, 3, 4 once, and I showed my brother. He couldn't believe it. That you got this thing once? I said, once. One, first attempt. If Holy Ghost can tell me puzzle that is of no use, what of the puzzle of life? Canada is good, boy. Is it for you? Don't just uproot. Some of you, Nigeria is good. Is it for you? Don't just stay. Are you here, somebody? Yeah. Create the atmosphere. So, I picked that textbook. Said, read chapter 1. I read chapter 1. It's not long. I memorized the whole chapter 1. The test came. There was section A, section B. Choose anyone you want. Section A, everything there is chapter 1. You know this question that have children and grandchildren? Everything was chapter 1. I finished it because that's the only thing Holy Ghost is to read. I finished the thing. And this one, they were marking the script in front of you. You sit down, they'll mark your script in front of you. Everybody failed. Everybody got low score. When I sat down, the guy said, you're my boy. You got this. I got everything. Because I didn't start running first. I started worshiping first. It's not every effort that is important. It's not until you suffer before you are making progress. Nobody awards you for your suffering. This world is interesting. Nobody appreciates effort. Have you seen anybody say, this person, you are giving an award for the most hardworking student that didn't pass? Nobody appreciates effort. That you went to World Cup. People trained. You trained for this World Cup. No. Do you win the World Cup? There's only first prize. They recognize. Create the atmosphere. Number what is the next one? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's one of the ways to sharpen your consciousness of this Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. If you develop that communion with the Holy Spirit, you'll see that this year will be very fruitful for you. You don't have to just write, before you write your plans for the year, don't just write things from your mind. Can you take 30 minutes to just worship before you write it? He will adjust certain things. Things that are freely given. I remember talking about the veil being opened, like Pastor said, and reading the Bible. Because I sense that there are some people here, you need to take a next step. You need to take a next step. But the issue is that you need to know what that next step is. It's not every next step that is your next step. We're doing ministry, things were okay, but we just knew that things needed to go to a new level. And I didn't know what to do. I had a lot of ideas and visions in my heart. I didn't know what to do. You know what God showed me? God told me to go on TV, and he showed me through scripture. There's television inside this Bible. At the time, TV was the largest media. It wasn't like today where there's social media. TV was the largest form of media that existed that time. And God said, go on TV. DJ, give me John 7. I called people that put scripture for me, DJ. They mix scripture. John 7 and verse 4, DJ. John 7 and verse 4. John 7 and verse 4. This is where I sought to go to TV from. And today, most of you that know me, I'm strong on media. This is where it started. I don't play with media. It says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. He said, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If this thing you are doing is important, why are you just doing it ordinarily in one corner? Show yourself. Let people know you can do it. Ah! And the thing I got from this thing, this is Jesus' brother's kind of sneering at him, that you are here, you are a savior, and you are in this corner. But me, I got to go on TV from it. TV was the biggest media there. I said, go on TV. Silverbed particularly. Without veil being removed, many people have read past this place. Me, Holy Ghost just stopped me there. Say, if this is important, show yourself to the world. Millie, we got that word. I told my wife I was going on TV. We didn't have any money. We didn't have anything. I said, what's the first thing we're going to do? I said, I'm going to look for somebody that has a TV ministry I like. That's how I do everything. Once I get an instruction, I say, who is doing this thing? Who? Because there's nothing you're trying to do that somebody is not doing. We just like to suffer sometimes. Some people take that they're suffering very personal. That I suffered. Nobody's going to give you a word for suffering. I said, who is doing this thing? So I sat down one day, watched television, and the only ministry I liked what they were doing on TV at that time was Covenant, what Pastor Produce TV ministry. I said, I like what this person is doing. So I told my wife, let's go and connect with this. So we came to meet him then, came to his office. We told him what we wanted to do. I want to go on TV. Now, before that time, there were two ministers we saw on TV. So the first one, we went to meet the first one. He said, TV is hard. Don't go on TV, oh. Hey, TV! Lily will leave that to my wife. This is not the person. So we came to Pastor Bodju. Then we said, we want to go on TV and everything. And we don't have the money. We don't have anything. He said, he too, when he started, he didn't have the money. He didn't even know how he was going to do it. That we should go on it. It's very powerful. We must go on it. And he was very positive about it. And said, we must go. And when we finished having that conversation, yes, you can appreciate him. Yes. It's not this Liverpool jersey is the first thing he's giving me. No, he has been giving me advice. Before this Liverpool jersey, it gives me things. You know, so that day I remember we sowed the seed into his life. We also sowed the seed into the TV ministry. There's so much power. See, there's grace of God everybody has, but there's grace that is helping somebody in something. It's always okay to connect with that grace. It's like partnership and all that. You connect with the grace that is working in that person's life. The Bible said, take an active part in the joys of others. That's what the Bible calls rejoice with those that rejoice. One translation says, take an active part in the joys of others. Your friend is getting married, you want to trust in your mind, go and support her, go and help her. Go. Anything you partake of like that, it rubs off on you. They said, who is the prophet again after Elijah? They said, there's Elisha, he poured water on the hands. So anybody you serve like that and help like that, whatever is working in their life also rubs off. So we sow the seed. One seed into his own personal life, another seed into their own TV ministry. And we went home. We sat down. I said, what are we going to do? My wife remembered she knew somebody in Silverbed. We called the guy that wanted to come on TV. The guy said, there's no space. Everywhere is full. No slots free. We sat down. I said, it must be free. God sent me. We checked, watched TV. Watched all the programs. We saw one time, 3:30. It was free. They were doing something that was not serious. So we claimed it. So this 3:30 is our time. And for about almost 1 year, I kept confessing it. Every time I entered the house, I would check 3:30. What's happening 3:30? Hope nobody has come in near my time, because it's my time. These people, they are showing cartoon during my 3:30. Guess what? After almost a year, the guy in Silverbed calls us that a slot has opened. I said, what time? He said, 3 o'clock. I said, no, that's Pastor Podge's time. But it's 3 o'clock. He said, it's 3 o'clock. I called Pastor Podge that day. I said, they are saying 3 o'clock. Is it free? He said, no, it must be a mistake. I called the guy. He said, no, it's not 3 o'clock. And that's another thing. I said, Christian, don't take on that person's property. Especially if you know the person. Some people take some people's venue. One church is in one venue. You come and take the venue. Even though you know it's a church that is there. So, guess what? And I said, no, it's a mistake. It's not 3 o'clock. It's 3:30. So, that's how that same 3:30 I confessed for 1 year. They said, 3:30 is free. Come and take 3:30. I get what I'm saying. And that's how we started TV. So, I was right after Pastor Podge's program. So, he will be 3 o'clock. I'll come after. And it's not a coincidence that I connected with that seed. My time is right after his time. I don't think it was a coincidence. Whenever you see things working for people, connect with the grace. The Holy Spirit, open TV and media generally. That's why you see, I don't play with YouTube, I don't play with Instagram. I'm not having fun, I'm working. God, the Holy Ghost told me, show yourself to the world. If this thing is important, don't shoot it in one corner. Show yourself to the world. The Holy Spirit can breathe on scriptures. I remember my wife took us about 8 years to have our first biological child. 8 years. And my wife used to bleed. As you know, the woman with the issue of blood. That's her here. This is her sister. My wife She will bleed profusely. Doctors have said, you can't have children. My wife, one night like this, she was standing and it was like this was urinating blood. Pool of blood. It was just rolling out. Pool of blood. And the devil told me, are you sure this woman can never have a child? A woman bleeding like this. Can she ever have children? That maybe you are called to adopt. You know, you are the father of the church. Maybe you are papa. Maybe it's spiritual children you will have. And you just adopt children. The Holy Ghost was this, Satan was trying to convince me to give up on my faith. Maybe did that the Holy, see, that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He will always bring back things to your remembrance. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Right as the devil was talking, the Holy Ghost said, in him there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. That is very important. Because there are many people praying and wondering if it's God's will. No. See, God doesn't heal some people and not heal some people. The moment you see him as somebody that is variable, you can never know if you are qualified. Faith must be absolute for it to work. I get what I'm saying? Bishop Odikwa said, faith that is not absolute is impotent. That when faith is absolute, results are inevitable. So God told me, quickly whispered to me, he said, in him, there is no variableness. That means if God says, none shall be barren in the land, that is what? None. Not that, not shall I bury no boy, you. You know your father, your spiritual father. Mm-mm. If the Holy Ghost said, you shall be above only and not beneath, it's for you. If you say you are blessed above all people, it didn't say it depends on the country you are living in. So don't excuse yourself from any promise of God. Say, in him, there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet this morning? Were you blessed? I can't hear you. Were you blessed? Let's rise to our feet this afternoon. Take 1 minute to just talk to the Holy Spirit today. Just say, Holy Spirit, I know you are with me. I know you will guide me. You will show me the things that are freely given to me. Go ahead. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost too if you can. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Mondre de bakase ke de listo. Brada bakaso ko brada bakista. Limbrada basota babrada. Come on, go ahead and pray.